This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. Each Monday on this program, we are bringing you stories on the most important American musical works of the 20th century, the NPR 100. Crazy.
Excuse me. I got plenty of
rhythm. I got
my land.
And you may ask yourself,
how does it feel?
Lovely, lovely.
Today, we'll hear a 1939 recording that is considered a defining moment in American jazz. Coleman Hawkins performing the song Body and Soul. Coleman Hawkins has been called the father of the tenor saxophone, and by all accounts he was the first to establish the tenor sax as a jazz instrument. For nearly 50 years, Hawkins was known for his authoritative and sensuous tone, but his recording of Body and Soul captured him at the pinnacle of his expressiveness and became one of the most important and influential jazz performances ever. Tom Moon has this appreciation of Coleman Hawkins' Body and Soul.
The language of jazz is built on small phrases, riffs that pass like coveted currency from one musician and one generation to the next. But every now and then, there comes a moment when that tried-and-true vocabulary no longer serves. And by rejecting it, an artist arrives at a statement that nudges or catapults the music into new directions. Coleman Hawkins' 1939 treatment of Body and Soul is one of those great evolutionary leaps. This Body and Soul was born in a moment of transition. Swing bands were still king, but the early tremors of bebop, which was to blossom later in the 40s, were already in the air. Hawkins, the Missouri native who'd established himself with bandleader Fletcher Henderson, had been living in Europe since 1934. He returned to the U.S. just before making this recording and was surprised, he recalled in a 1956 interview, to discover that most of his peers were still playing the same repetitive swing band phrases.
There wasn't any soloists around that interested me. They didn't seem to be playing anything. They weren't making changes good. You know, the changes were kind of sad. And I listened. I went around, I heard all the musicians and I used to go to all the sessions and everything, you know. I didn't notice that, but I was surprised, you know, because I'd been over there for so long, you know. And I thought by the time I came back, I thought the musicians here would be much further advanced, you know. But it was just like when I left. I hadn't seen nothing, hadn't advanced anything, hadn't done anything. A lot of them used to say I was playing wrong notes. Like the first time I played Body and Soul. You know, when the record first came out, everybody said I was playing wrong notes in it. It was funny to me. They just weren't making these changes in Body and Soul. It's the only changes to make in Body and Soul. That's when I couldn't understand why weren't they making them.
Hawkins' Body and Soul replaced blues-based riffing with brisk arpeggios, sharp-cornered phrases, and endless lines that were the jazz equivalent of run-on sentences. He danced at the upper extremes of chords, foreshadowing the altered harmonies that were later so important to bebop. But he was hardly academic. His spry, seductive tone gave every phrase an unmistakable passion. Right away, the Hawkins version of Body and Soul became one of the essential documents of jazz. It was not only a hit on jukeboxes until the 1950s, but a textbook lesson in ballad playing. Its blend of technical mastery and tender lyricism proved that it was possible to modernize well-worn Tin Pan Alley standards. Tenor saxophonist Joe Lovano is among the many contemporary musicians who call Body and Soul an important early influence.
My dad played tenor saxophone, you know, and he knew that solo inside out and used to practice it all the time. And I would always hear him playing all these amazing, beautiful melodies and things, you know, and when I was first trying to get myself together on my horn, little excerpts of that solo really helped me learn how to play the saxophone and to get around my instrument.
Hawkins' influence went beyond instrumentalists. Vocalists who'd been singing Body and Soul for years found themselves borrowing fragments of his improvisation. In 1959, the jazz singer Eddie Jefferson took that another step by putting his admiration into words that followed the contours of Hawkins' famous solo.
Don't you know he is the king of saxophones? Yes, indeed he is. Talking about the guy that made it sound so good. Some people know him by the beam, but Hawkins is his name. He sure can swing and play pretty too. Sounds good to me, should sound good to you. I love to hear him playing Body and Soul, very pleasing to the ear. When I first heard it on the record, I just stopped right there. Sounded like a band of angels in the sky, and I have never ever heard a sweeter tone. In fact, I paid no attention to the saxophone till Coleman Hawkins came along and spoke to everyone, saying, "Better listen, won't you hear me while I play for you? Sometimes it's hot, then again it's blue. My soul just seemed to wander, pleasing each and every one. Is what I've long been craving for. The doors have not been always open, but I'm trying to please you. Please don't try to stop me. Hope you like it, folks." And then he started cooking.
Every time he played some melodic melody, fast or slow, you could tell that it's Hawkins. No other one ever has quite captured his tone, just he alone. As the sound it penetrates, it will sure go right through you, yes it will. And every chorus gives you just another thrill. Dixieland or jazz.
Despite the enormous popularity of the original recording, Hawkins, who died in 1969, never played it exactly the same way again. He knew that the ideas in that solo had become part of the jazz vernacular, but he was more interested in creating something new than simply repeating himself. He eventually developed a solo piece, titled Picasso, that incorporated some of the melodic ideas from his Body and Soul.
Every time he played that was a total new expression and new improvisation on that same tune.
Saxophonist Joe Lovano believes Hawkins' dedication to improvisation is a legacy perhaps even more important than the endlessly studied notes and inflections of the original recording.
That really taught me a lot about trying to learn how to improvise and to be creative with the material and not be a repeater. Because throughout his whole career, he didn't repeat that solo. That was it. He recorded it once, and then every time he played that tune, it was a new expression on it, you know. And that's what really separated him from everybody else, because he was so free on his horn and so creative.
Saxophonist Joe Lovano talking about Coleman Hawkins' 1939 recording of Body and Soul, part of the NPR 100. Our narrator, Tom Moon, writes about music for the Philadelphia Inquirer.